Hi, I'm Dave from the Comics in Motion podcast, and you're listening to Genuine Chit Chat.
Hello there, guys, and welcome to another episode of Genuine Chit Chat. This week, I am joined by Dan and Paul of the Superheroes for Dummies podcast. So if you weren't already aware, the Superheroes for Dummies podcast airs on the Comics in Motion network, and that's exactly where my other podcast, Star Wars Comics in Canon, airs. Now, the Superheroes for Dummies show is an excellent idea, and I will talk about all of that probably in the outro, just so I don't keep this intro too long and things. And just in brief, what we talk about is Dan and Paul basically starting the podcast, how they first got into reading comic books and their favourite ones, TV shows and games relating to sort of superhero movies and comic book movies, as well as obviously the MCU and the DC movies. And that's generally what we speak about in part one of this chat in sort of light detail. And part two will be released next week, and that will be about more subjects and things that I'll get into in the outro as well. So without keeping this too long, I'm basically going to get things going in a moment. All the information is included in the description, including the social media for Dan and for Paul, as well as the podcast itself, Superheroes for Dummies. I really hope you guys enjoy this episode and things, and I'll be back at the end to give more information on part two, everything else I've been involved with guest-wise, more information about Superheroes for Dummies, and lots of other stuff too. So make sure you stay back for that. And anyway, here's Paul and Dan of Superheroes for Dummies.
Picture this, someone who knows nothing about comics.
Someone who knows comics from movies, TV and video games.
A complete ultra comics nerd.
You pick the character you want us to talk about.
You send us the questions you want answered.
You make the show.
A podcast by fans.
For fans.
Making new fans.
Superheroes.
Or
dummies.
Welcome to Genuine Chit Chat, where we have honest conversations with interesting people. And I'm your host, Mike Burton. I am joined today with two, well, super dummies, as you guys call yourselves, Dan and Paul. And the reason I know you guys is because of the Superheroes for Dummies podcast, which I have binged all of, listened to all of, and have probably retained almost no information about. So, huzzah. it's a great podcast. I've had a lot of fun listening to it. But I can include all the details of that sort of tomfoolery in the show notes. But how are you both doing in general?
Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And thank you for having us on.
Absolutely. Yeah, doing good. Thank you very much.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Surviving in this crazy world we live in.
Exactly. It's one of those. I mean, it's quite good, though, in some ways with the sort of solace, because without being able to socialize or really talk to anyone, it means that you can just sit in a lot and read comics and stuff.
Well, yeah. This is very true.
Which what I've been doing a lot of. So, I mean, getting us going then, obviously with, I'll probably ramble on in the intro and more so in the outro about Superheroes for Dummies and how much I enjoy it. But like the interesting thing about that show is that Steve is the encyclopedic knowledge of seemingly everything that's ever been in printed media ever. And you guys are the two claimed dummies of it. Mm-hmm. And it is very interesting, obviously, listening to the sort of dynamic, and you guys have certain questions that you kind of come in and out of. But I wanted to speak to you guys because I feel like we're on the same playing field, in a sense, because I think the three of us and probably Chris of sort of the main TV and movie show, we're probably the least knowledgeable, I'd say, about comics because we haven't had that sort of history with them. So I thought I'd delve into that and ask you guys what they are. So I'll start with you, Dan.
Yeah.
You're sort of, when did you first like read comics when you were younger and get into them? And also regarding, we'll start with that, otherwise I'm going to get ahead of myself. So, first, I'll ask you just 20 questions at once and you have to try and answer them all at the same time. No, when did you sort of first get into comics and stuff? When was that
introduced? To be perfectly honest, I can't remember what age I started, but I know I was like a little young boy. But I think the age I started, like, getting introduced to comics, I didn't fully appreciate them. I didn't actually know what was going on in comics I was reading. All I knew was Batman, Superman, that sort of thing. And then as I was growing up, I wasn't really much of a reader, so I wasn't really much into the comics. But then I liked watching stuff like the Christopher Reeve Superman movies and stuff like that. And then you obviously had Batman Michael Keaton and so on and so forth. So it was, I was more watching movies than I was reading comics. And then obviously from a young age, I was into video games as well. And then obviously they like, had all the Batman Arkham games. You had, I think it was actually a Superman game, and then like Spider-Man and stuff like that. So that's pretty much where I drew my knowledge from. And it wasn't until I actually met Steve, because there was one, I think it was during the summer, I don't know if that's right, Paul, but we went around to Steve's house and we were around there and he showed me all of his comics and all the stuff that he got from like DC and stuff like that. Pretty drunk by the end of the night, but it was a good one.
Yeah. I was just going to say, my memory of the night always is the ending.
Yeah.
Because it got very interesting as Dan got very drunk. But we shall leave that one there.
But we digress. Yeah. I think, I don't know if I've still got that video. I hope that video has been lost. Oh, it was nothing crude. It was just funny as fuck. but yeah, it was that, and then obviously Superheroes for Dummies came along, and then we started with Batman, and then basically both me and Paul started on the Batman reading list, which funnily enough we're still on, as funny yeah. as you know, as that, as weird as that is. And then he brought us onto like Kingdom Come, Miracle Man, DR and Quinch. And yeah, it just reignited my love for comics. And I'm at the age now where I can actually just sit down and just read something, whether it be a book, whether it be a comic, and actually do that now. So yeah, so that is my
origin story
background. And it's my origin story. It's wonderful. My journey, which is still going.
Yeah, hopefully this isn't the end of your journey. I don't want the twist to be the end of this podcast. No.
This is my final podcast. Anymore.
Screw you all. I'm out of here.
I'm going. Oh, wait, I am home.
Already there, done. Turn off the podcast, leave the Zoom call. Paul, how about you then? How'd you get into comics and that sort of jazz?
Well, much like yourself, we were talking just before we started recording. When I was younger, it was the Beano, which for those of you who don't know, which I guess would be Americans, because everyone else seems to know it, it's basically an anthology humor mag type thing, lots of different stories, very school kid type stuff.
I think Dennis the Menace is the main thing people would probably know, because I think that got like a animated show that I recall being awful on CITV or something.
Yeah, it wasn't their best idea. It's still going, I think, though. Ooh, somehow.
I know there was a movie, I think, or am I thinking of Horrid Henry?
I think there was a movie.
I think there was a Dennis the Menace movie, yeah.
Oof, rough. Don't want to think about that.
No. But the thing is, I don't remember it, so it couldn't have been that good. So.
No.
I don't think I even saw it. I think by that point, I was out of it. I just remember the Beano and the Dandy when I was younger, and I remember the Beano being the best and the Dandy being crap. But I'd get the Dandy occasionally and read it and be like, this isn't as good. But after the Beano and Dandy, like, obviously that was... I think we're all different ages. I won't ask what you guys' ages are. But obviously, the Beano's been going for Christ knows how long, probably longer than any of us have been living on this planet. So it's like, if it's gone past Stan Lee's age, then you probably think everyone's ever heard of it. So then after that, because like we all kind of vaguely had that, but obviously in varying degrees kind of, I don't know, fell off the horse, as it were, and then kind of got back on. Did you, were you sort of more like Dan in the way that you watched like movies and TV series and then it kind of just looped back around to Steve, or?
So here is my main issue. My memory is terrible. So I had the Beano from primary school into secondary school. Then it's very blurry. Now, I know I've seen most of the Superman films at some point in my life. I don't remember what I thought of most of them. And that's kind of how it goes until Steve came along.
The savior.
Even now, like some of the films I've seen recently, I probably couldn't tell you what happened in them. He's terrible.
Megan's like that. She has to watch a film 2 or 3 times before it actually sinks in. So, yeah.
I mean, I was walking around today listening to a podcast, and about half an hour in, I thought, what the hell am I actually listening to? I can't remember. That's how bad it is.
Amazing. Fair enough. To be fair, I mean, when I started, I was reading, yeah, Beano and Dandy, and then I didn't read anything comic-wise for many years, except, like as I said when before recording, I read the Marvel Zombies comics. And I think I read like the odd thing, like a mate would have them, be like, these are amazing, you know, check that out. But I'd get all my... I was a massive gamer when I was younger. Now. I try and do everything at once. So I, you know, play games for like a couple of hours a week, while, and I also read comics and have 2 podcasts and do all these other things, because everything's like, I'm like a kid with ADHD, but with everything all the time. So that's my problem. And so with that regard, it's like, I think what I got into it was gaming mainly. Like I knew, like I'd seen the X-Men animated series, and I'd seen of the, because where I was born in the early 90s, so the MCU kind of came as I was a teenager. So in that regard, I've been kind of brought up with the MCU and all that jazz. But video gaming, like I remember playing the Spider-Man games on PlayStation 1, and that was like, that's how I knew about Spider-Man and stuff. And then Venom was in it, and Daredevil, and randomly, and I've just got this vague peripheral knowledge of just some, like you say, like I know certain things, like with Batman, for example, I knew about Robin and I knew about Nightwing and stuff. And I listened to that episode of Superheroes for Dummies and I was like, oh, I know nothing. Like I know like the footnotes of a blurb of one issue.
Yeah.
So, I know what you mean. There's lots of little bits of information in there, but I have no idea how they got in there. I vaguely remember playing the X-Men game on like the Mega Drive or something. But I don't remember what happens in it. I just remembered I played it. And I remember I watched the animated series. Could tell you what happens in it.
Oh, I'm the same. I can't remember anything except Jubilee's a character who I did not recognize anywhere else. That's and Gambit throws cards.
Yes. That bit I know.
Yeah. It's weird though.
Got like, nothing.
It's weird. Like I said, like when I was a kid, so as a kid, I was aware of like Batman, Superman, X-Men, Spider-Man. I was aware of them, but knew nothing about them. And then, you knew like the basics, like Spider-Man, or Peter Parker was bitten by a radioactive spider, but you don't know really much about it. Like, there was, like, you could talk to Steve about it, and they'll be like, oh, I don't know that, much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I found is that I thought, because with your guys' show, like, I think, I can't remember the first one I listened to, but it was a character that I knew of, but that I, like, I didn't listen to Spider-Man one initially, and I didn't listen to the Batman one initially, or the Superman one, because I was like, I know about them. And then when I listened to one of the other, I can't remember what episode it was, but I listened to one of them, and then the amount of detail that went into it, I was like, oh, okay. And I was kind of like, I want a podcast that, it's not like a Joe Rogan podcast or anything. I was like, I just want to listen to something that wasn't music, but I didn't really want to have to commit to anything I had to give all my attention to the whole time. So I was like, you know, I'll listen to this. And then I chucked on the, I think it's the Spider-Man one. And I was like, I know loads about Spider-Man. Come on. And I listened to it and I was like, oh, no, I don't. I know literally fuck all. I know like 5 minutes from like 2 games and then the movies and that's all. Yeah. And so when, so I listened to that episode, I was listening to the other ones and I was like, oh yeah, I don't know anything about Batman or Superman. And so from that kind of thing, that kind of evolved a lot for me and made me appreciate comics a lot. And obviously being in the Comics Emotion family with everyone has got some incredible recommendations all the time. It is overwhelming in a really good way. It's like there's never a lack of things to read because I've got about 8 things. I know you guys are reading this to silly big, but I've got like ridiculous. 8 things I've got already that I'm reading, and then because I've got to read some for the podcast, and then there's some for fun and some for a podcast if I'm guesting on someone else's and all that sort of jazz. So I want to ask, like, from the sort of the renaissance of comic books in your guys' lives, obviously basically Steve being the cause of that renaissance, have there been any comics that you've read thus far that have stood out? I know you haven't read like a world of them, but I was just interested, if I go with Paul first, are there any sort of, I know you just said your memory is bad, so maybe the wrong person to choose first, but I wondered if there's any that kind of called out to you.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. The one we always talk about is Kingdom Come, because that was one of the first ones that Steve said, you have to read this. And it's a good one to go into because I think the impression I think people get of comics is like Adam West or the Beano or et cetera, et cetera. And you look at Kingdom Come and it's basically a painting. It's not line drawing. It's, you look at it, it's like, okay, every page is a painting. And every page, it's a deep meaningful storyline. It's not just like Biff Pow, which I think is what people's impressions are. And that's a good one to say, if you want to know what comic books actually are, have a read of this, and then it'll open your mind to actually, maybe there is something out there for me. Because, yeah, I mean, there are some of the stuff that's a bit lower level, to use probably a really bad term. But if you wanted that sort of thing, it is out there for you. But if you wanted deep, meaningful stories, that's definitely out there as well.
Has Kingdom Come DC? I haven't read it yet because I'm a failure, clearly. I know it's one of the big pillars. There's like, I think, Crisis on Infinite Earths, Identity Crisis, Flashpoint, Kingdom Come. And there's those sort of pillars, which I'm not yet there yet. But Kingdom Come, if just as a for vaguely for people, you don't have to spoil anything because I think it's quite big, major plot things. But is it basically like a big DC universe, loads of characters in it kind of doing stuff or...?
Yeah, so basically Kingdom Come is a standalone story. It's an Elseworlds story. And it's basically along the lines of what could go horribly wrong with all these superheroes and what could the outcomes be and then what do they do about it? So yeah, without spoiling too much, it's every name that you know will be in there. Mm-hmm. All the names you don't know will be in there. But it doesn't matter too much because when I read it, I was like, I don't know who this guy is. But it didn't matter too much because the storyline isn't so much about the individual. It's about the ideas. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend it for everyone out there.
Yeah, I'll have to add that to my list. I see that DC are doing DC Unlimited soon, and I've got Marvel Unlimited, which has just changed my life. It's just, you know, I don't have to think, can I afford that comic this month? It's just flick on there, have a little bit of a read. If you don't like it, you know, leave. But it's like with Civil War, I found that. I went to Comic Con, oh God, how long ago could we walk in crowds? 4 years ago, I think I went to Comic Con. It's before I met Megan. So I went there and I just, I bought a couple of Star Wars-y things, but I've heard of Civil War. And I think it was after the film came out. And so I saw it and it was a little bit damaged, but it was like £3 or something. And it's like the thick, you know, on collection thing, which has got like 5 issues of the comic or whatever in it. And I read that just before I started doing the podcast for Comics in Motion. And then I was basically doing the same because obviously it's a big thing and you don't need to know every character. But there was like, you know, there's the main like 12 or so that you know from the Avengers and then, you know, a few of the X-Men and Spider-Man, whatever. But then there's loads that you didn't know about. But I found the story was strong enough to kind of keep me going. So yeah. I feel like that's almost, there are certain pillars and things. But with you sort of, Dan, what was the, are you in a similar boat? I know you've got the same reading list. So maybe it's
We've got the same reading list. Like, I did thoroughly enjoy Kingdom Come. Like you said, it's a very deep, meaningful story. And it's, like you said, there's characters in it that you know of, there's characters that you don't know of. But I think you'll find it with Kingdom Come, because I want to read it again. I think you'll find if you read it again, there'll be characters that you didn't notice before that you notice, and then you want to know about them. It will further expand your knowledge. But the one that probably stood out for me, and I'm currently in the middle of finishing book 3 of, is Miracle Man.
I ordered that today. I ordered the 3 books today. So I'm excited for them.
Oh, you, sir, are in for a friggin' you're in for a treat.
Go on, tell the audience what it's all about. Well, not all about, but, you know.
So it's set in, if I'm right, it's set in the 1980s, and it's about a journalist called Mike Moran, who, again, you guys are talking about memory retention. Same thing with me. I think he was visited by a being who's bestowed powers on him. And he was kind of like Shazam, where he has a specific word that would turn him into Miracle. And his magic word was Kimota. And Kimota is atomic, spelled backwards. And it turns him, basically turns him into this superhero. And I don't want to say too much. I won't go too much further into it, but it's basically set in London, 1980s London, which is absolutely amazing. And with this one, it kind of makes you think, it was like, what would life be like in the real world if super beings actually existed? And it's a very thought-provoking series of books. And like I said, I'm only on the third book, but this third one, that's what I'm going to say. but it's absolutely, it draws you in, it keeps you reading. And I mean, I've read like Batman's like Year One, Dark Victory, Long Halloween, and those are all amazing classic books. Miracle Man, for me, is absolutely amazing. So it's so deep, it messes with your head so much. By the time you finish the book, you'll be like, wow. Let's just put it this way, I still haven't finished scraping my brains off the wall.
Yeah, because I heard you guys sort of talking about it, and Scott Weatherly of the 20th Century Geek podcast, he's a massive Miracle Man advocate as well. So after hearing Steve talk about it, and then Scott as well, I was like, okay, you know, I've got access to Hoopla, which has certain random comics on there and stuff, which I've been using intermittently. A lot of indie comics are on there. It's quite helpful when I do Tony's show. And then I've got Marvel Unlimited, but obviously self-explanatory. And then DC Unlimited isn't, or DC Infinite, or whatever the hell it's called, isn't going to be here till like summer or something. So in that regard, I was like, I can kind of get most things. But because of Miracle Man, because of what I listened to your episode, in fact, that might have been the first episode of Superheroes for Dummies I listened to, because I was like, Miracle Man, who the hell is that? And then I obviously heard, it's basically just a giant advert for Miracle Man, the episode. And... Yeah, because it was all the complicated stuff, and I'll mention it in the show notes and things about checking that out. But it was like, you know, it was written by Alan Moore, but then he fell out with Marvel or whatever, and then it was called Marvel Man, but they changed it to Miracle Man. And there's all these sorts of weird little caveats. And I saw on Amazon, when I went to buy Miracle Man, there's the third thing that comes up isn't even the Miracle Man book. It's the long and complicated history of Miracle Man / Marvel Man. So there's the third most popular book on Amazon about Miracle Man isn't a Miracle Man comic. It's just a story telling you how complicated the real life part of Miracle Man was, because it's him, Alan Moore, and then I think Neil Gaiman did a run as well, which I think is called The Golden Age, which is like the fourth
Golden Age. Yeah, that's the next book. One.
Yeah,
I had to keep looking online because there's so many slight variants of the books, and I was like, okay, I don't want to buy the same ones. But then Alan Moore, like I saw, because I remember Steve saying Alan Moore wants his name taken off it and things. And so when you're on Amazon, it says original writer, and then it's got the artist name and the colorist and whatever. So I ordered that because I was very lucky, air quotes lucky. We didn't obviously have Christmas dues my work this year or anything. So the amount they would give you per head, they just gave you on a voucher and you could choose from 20 odd shops or something. Yeah, it was quite nice. And it was like, some of them were H.S. Samuel, and I'm just thinking, I don't know what I could possibly buy in H.S. Samuel for 50 quid, and I don't think they know what am I going to be buying with that. But one of them was a National Book Token, which I'd not heard of, and so I looked into it, and it's basically Waterstones, W.H. Smith, and a few other places, but it, like, the Waterstones one is Blackwell and something or other, and they've got this website which is basically just all the stock of all of them in the whole country, and I managed to get, I think, Miracle Man number 2 was like 20 quid on there, but on Amazon it was like £35 or something silly, because obviously it's out of print and you can only get, I think, hardcovers now as well. And so it's really hard to find them, but I managed to get one on Amazon, the first one on Amazon for like a tenner, and then a few on there and a few there. So I've got them on my way, and I'm just like, I've just started today Batman Hush. So I'm just like, when they come, I should have waited a bit.
Yeah.
But I'm rambling anyway. What I was going to say is, with comic books, what I found, and I found this from reading The Killing Joke, which is by Alan Moore once again. Hey, if you didn't know about it, you thought I planned that as a clever segue, and I didn't. I did it because a friend of mine, she had a bunch of comic books from where she used to date a guy who's really into comics. She got loads, and then she's now with someone else, and so I got lots of her comics. So it works in a lot of ways. Yeah, it works on me, doesn't it? And I had Killing Joke for my thing for don't know how long. But then I hadn't read it for ages. And then obviously all the comic podcasts start to happen. And then I read Killing Joke and I was like, oh shit. And you finish it, you go, that's better than half the Batman films. And you read it, you go, that was amazing. And just as you kind of say, it's thought-provoking in a way one wouldn't assume comics to be. And when I read that, because when I read Civil War, I was like, okay, this is like the MCU. And the MCU is amazing for superhero stuff, but also it does miss, not miss the mark, but it is kind of the same thing. Although I love it, it's generally quite the same. Yeah. And then reading The Killing Joke kind of did for me what I think Miracle Man and maybe Kingdom Come did for you guys, which was just that weird, wait a minute. So this isn't what I thought it was. And that kind of opened my world. So I want to ask, like, from there, what are your favorite things just to do with comics in general? So for example, like, is there a movie you love the most or a game or anything like that? I'll come with you first, Dan. If just something like either superhero related or comic themed or vaguely anything like that. I'm just intrigued, really.
I just love everything. I think in particular at the moment, because we're like, our main reading list is from Batman. And if you listen to the Batman episode, you get to learn how complex Batman is. You think he's like this cold kind of person, but there's many, many like layers to him. And it's not just him. It's people like the Joker. It's people like Riddler. It's people like Scarecrow. They've all got all these layers to them, and you just want to learn more and more and more and more. And reading that, I think that's what like reignited my passion for reading comics and stuff like that. And it's just the way that comics can play with your feelings. One minute you're like, oh my God. One minute you're laughing. One minute you're sad. One minute you're like, what the fuck? Cutting this down. I'm not reading that again. And then 5 minutes later, you're walking back, goes, okay, I'm going to finish it, but I'm not going to like it. You know what I mean? So, it's just how, like, I used to think comics was good guys, bad guys. The bad guys done something terrible. So the superheroes come in to stop them and da 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 da. But there's all these layers in between from start to begin, middle to end. So, yeah, man. Yeah. It's just, that's pretty much it. It just plays with your emotions.
What about you, Paul? Yeah.
No, that's very true. Comics are annoying because they drag you in. I recently changed. Yeah, basically. I recently changed my job, and my last job, they were basically downsizing in a not very nice way. So for the last 3 weeks, I was just basically sat there with my Kindle reading comic books. And as soon as I would finish one, another one would immediately draw me in. And that's just what they do. Mm. Like, I think I read, I started reading one of the Dark Knight's Metal books. And it made a comment about the City of Owls. I thought, oh, actually, I haven't read that yet. Maybe I'll read that first. So I read The Court of Owls, then The City of Owls, then Death in the Family, then Death of the Family. Then next thing I know, it's 3 weeks later. I haven't done any work, but I don't care anymore.
I don't work there no more.
No, exactly. Yeah. They don't want me, so why should I do any work for them? But that's what they do, and I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe is the first major attempt to kind of get that. But they're great movies, but they also miss a lot out. And there's a lot of characters that are missing out because they've just been put into the bunch. And I think we actually talked about it when we were talking about, it was either Miracle Man or Captain Britain. And we were talking about, you know, what should they do for a movie? And we kind of said, well, do we want them to do a movie? Because I think it was Captain Britain. Mm. Because it would just end up with another Avengers movie with Captain Britain in it. We don't want that. We want to see Captain Britain. And I think that's where TV shows seem to be getting it better. Like, I've slowly been watching Doom Patrol, which is amazing. Everyone has to watch that.
My brother told me it was good.
It is. It's so ridiculous. So ridiculous and so amazing. Everyone watch it. And if you ask Steve, he'll go on you for hours telling you how much you need to watch it. So I think TV shows tend to get it better.
Yeah.
But they're also on the edge of, if they get it wrong, you'll never see from it again.
Yeah, I think prime example.
Always
prime example is like Daredevil. Nothing against Ben Affleck's Daredevil, but the Netflix TV series is actually absolutely top notch.
Yeah, I was actually going to sort of link both wrong words. I was going to clink it on. I was going to connect it to that because I watched the first series of every Marvel Netflix show. I watched the first series of, and I also watched series 2 of Daredevil, and I also watched The Defenders, and then series 2 of Jessica Jones bored me. Iron Fist was trash, and I didn't even finish that, if I'm honest. And then I was watching them with my mate as well. He used to come over mine like once or twice a week, and we would just watch TV shows. We used to watch Walking Dead together, and then around series 6 or 7, whenever Negan came into it, we lost interest and stopped that. So there's lots of TV shows we just started, and then we just watch them till they become crap, and then we stop. And a lot of those, the Marvel Netflix shows we did that with, and I think the first series for most of them, except Iron Fist, were all really good. And I watched series 2 of Daredevil and series 1 of Punisher, and I thought Daredevil was excellent. And I remember not hating the Ben Affleck movie. I thought it was all right. But then, yeah, you watch the Netflix one, you're like, oh shit, like Daredevil's cool. Mm. What? Like, you watch the Ben Affleck one, you go, okay, it's a blind dude who can beat the crap out of people. That's all right. But you don't think he's like a cool person necessarily. But then you see Daredevil and you go, God, he's got this complex, being a Catholic, and he's struggling with himself fighting crime because it's against his own religious views. But it's got this whole cleverness to it. And I want to show it to Megan because there's a lot of rumblings and rumours that Charlie Cox, the guy who plays him, is going to pop up in the MCU at some point. The proper MCU, because I know they are canon.
Yeah. Funny you should say that. I think I mentioned it on one of our most recent episodes. Apparently he's in the new Spider-Man movie. Apparently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting. But have you guys seen the... So with the Netflix shows, have you both seen the handful of Netflix Marvel shows?
I think I started watching Daredevil, and then I saw season 1 of Jessica Jones, and then Luke Cage. All of them came out, and then I wanted to watch them in order of significance, if that makes sense. Hmm. And I had to force myself to watch Iron Fist. Not really.
I got halfway through, and then I just Wikipedia the rest of the plot. I could not be dealing with it.
Yeah, but then I tried to watch Luke Cage, I think season 2, and I couldn't for it. I don't know, there's something about it that just didn't interest me. But my favourites are Daredevil and Punisher, because John Bernthal as Punisher, he was absolutely amazing.
Oh, he's incredible. And have you seen it all, Paul, the Netflix shows? Have you seen any of them?
Nope. This is an ongoing theme. I've not, either I don't remember or I just plain haven't seen it. And I don't know how I miss all these things. Part of it, I think, is because myself and the wife, we always basically watch TV together. So it has to grab both of us. And I think when it gets into it, she enjoys it, but she's a bit hesitant to sort of jump into them. There are so many TV shows out there.
That's the problem. In today's age as well, with lockdown stuff. Exactly. It's like I asked you that. I vaguely thought you didn't, but I thought, I didn't want to leave that, Paul. But then I was like, I also don't want to feel like I'm attacking him, but you bloody watch that. Because I know you get loads of shit on Superheroes for Dummies, basically. Why haven't you watched this? Why haven't you watched that? You haven't watched Doom Patrol yet? What's going on? Like that, all the sort of thing. But like with me and Megan, we have to barter, because I got her to watch like all the Star Wars series. Obviously, I'm a Star Wars nerd. Before Mandalorian and stuff, and we watched all of that. And then she was like, I need to watch some stuff she wanted me to watch. So I watched mainly cooking shows, didn't too bad. And then we watched The Crown, which I thought was absolutely fucking incredible. I thought it was going to be so crap. And I watched the first episode. I was like, you know what? This is amazing. And so I've watched all of that and stuff. But one of the things I had to kind of convince her home was to watch The Boys. I don't know if either of you have seen that.
Yeah.
So Dan's watched that, no, and Paul hasn't.
Well, I haven't. That's
good lord, how man. It goes. Good lord, man.
It's like the way Miracle Man was described vaguely is obviously kind of the British side, but The Boys is basically like if superheroes came out, air quotes, and America were like the first ones to get hold of them. What I love about The Boys as well is, unlike the Netflix Marvel series, as you said, there was like, there's the 4 or 5 series that came out almost immediately, plus The Defenders, plus the sequel series. But there's also 13 episodes per season, and about half of them are quite fillery. So it just becomes a bit of a slog, whereas The Boys, it's 8 episodes, about an hour each, and it's just quite easy going. But The Boys is,
I had to kind of, I wouldn't say fight Megan, that makes it sound like we had an argument, but like I had to kind of try and convince her to watch it because she was like, over lockdown, she's like, we just watched all the MCU movies, which I loved, but now you want me to watch all the Spider-Man movies because you hear about Spider-Man 3 coming out and you're going to have to watch the three of them and the two of them and all that sort of stuff. And she's like, I'm just getting a little bit sick of superheroes. And I was like, I know what you're saying, but I really want to watch this, please. And after like the second or so episode, she was like, this is brilliant. Like, was without spoiling it for poor Paul, what was your sort of view on it then, Dan?
Let's just put it this way. I watched the first episode. I mean, I rewatched it with my wife, but when I watched the first episode, and it's when Huey was with his girlfriend and I saw that scene, I thought, holy fuck, what is this? Like, yeah. Meant to be about superheroes and this happens. And it's just, yeah, it just totally blew me away. Like, and I was just addicted. Like, it was like, I can't wait for the next episode and the next episode and the next episode. Because I think what we're on season two, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're on season two at the moment. And like, I think we were talking about Scrubs earlier and we were talking about like a certain character dying and then it became really morbid. With the boys, it's just consistent. Through like every episode, and Paul, whatever you think about superheroes, watch The Boys. You'll be proven wrong.
It's one of those shows that you've got. Like, there's certain questions that come up, obviously, in Superheroes for Dummies a lot of the time, and I'm guilty of them sometimes as well, just to kind of laugh my way when you answer the episodes, like about Plastic Man and stuff, about sex and things like this. And the questions like, what if Superman had sex with a normal person? Surely they would kill them. These sorts of questions get answered in The Boys. There's a lot of these sorts of questions which you don't get the answer to. You watch the answer, and some of them are questions you didn't want to know the answers of. But it is one of those shows that I often say with, I think probably Captain America is probably the worst for this, which is pulling punches, not literally, like figuratively. When you watch Captain America films, they're really, really cool. And the Captain America trilogy is amazing. But like when you're watching two people have a fist fight, there's not that much blood. He's meant to be, I know he does pull his punches a little bit, but when you're watching him fight someone, there's not that much blood. When you see the punch, it's kind of, it cuts as the fist is like here. With The Boys, it doesn't cut. So you just, there's like scenes where you just watch someone get beaten to death by basically God. So you're just watching their face just cave in. And then you're just like, oh, can't get much worse than this. And then the next few minutes, something else happens. And you're just like, oh my God. And it's one of those shows that, everyone was going on about it. And I didn't start watching it till series two sort of started airing and things. And I was like, oh, is it going to be one of those things? Because you look at the ratings on IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes, and it's so high. You just think, it can't be that good. And the more times you hear someone say how amazing it is, you go, it can't be. And then you watch episode one and you're like, oh, okay, I'm wrong. It's fucking sick. So without just, let's not make this all about The Boys the whole time, because I'm going to make Paul very unhappy. But sort of linking in with the, let's keep the superhero theme for fun. I'm interested in what your guys' sort of favourite of the superhero movies are, be it MCU, Burton verse, any sort of vague thing. If we want to start with you, Paul, are there any sort of, or any that kind of mean a lot to you? Because with The Boys, the reason I love The Boys so much is because it is about superhumans, superheroes, but it's very human. The show is very human. A lot of the things that happen. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of the things that happen, there's these moments where you can feel it in your chest. You're like, Jesus, that cuts deep. Like, it's not like someone dies necessarily, but someone says something and you're like, whew, didn't need that bit of like raw life served to me. And that's what I really like, that human sort of feel to it. So with that in mind, for me, I don't know what my favorite, I think Dark Knight is probably my favorite one, but that's, I would maybe even argue if that's a superhero film because it's so gritty and real. But I didn't know if your guys' sort of favourite, in air quotes, superhero films are.
Yeah, I think the Batman ones are quite good at that because it's Batman and he's not just a superhero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's kind of a human with lots of money.
and a lot of time on his hands.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. And it means that he's got a lot of the complexities. I don't know. This is a problem that the Marvel Universe has in their films, is it is kind of one level-ish. It's very good at that one level.
Yeah. I'd say 70% of it is basically, I'd say 70% of their films are solidly good films that I enjoy, but don't, there's no moments in there you're like, holy shit. It's just like, these are all very good and pleasant to watch. There's like a few, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't go in there for, you know, the tear jerking moments or the romance or anything.
No.
You go in there for someone to be punched in the face.
Well, yeah, and then for someone else who's better than them to punch them hard. It's basically. Yeah.
Basically.
I suppose, like, Marvel has just has this very, like, it just has a very, very high entertainment value. But if you want something thought-provoking and makes you that food for thought, then I'm sorry, but DC does that. Like, you had Superman versus Batman, and you had the, like you said, you had the Dark Knight series. That's what it does. In the stage of my journey, like my comic journey, I just want to either blow my mind or let me, like, when I put down the book, I'm still thinking about that chapter that I just read. And I feel that I feel like DC does that.
I'd be inclined to agree with you. I mean, it's like a good example of that is Joker, the film, which I personally love that film, but obviously it's not.
That was the film that just jumped into my head.
It's one of those films where it's about an air quotes a superhero or supervillain, whatever, but it's like the film itself is nothing about any of that. There's like 2 minutes, if that, of anything to do with anything else, but the rest of it is just someone breaking. And that's basically the plot. It's brilliant in that way. And I will say, with the MCU movies and a lot of those things, they're not that thought-provoking. I mean, I think Infinity War did a great job of that, but that's because, you know, the end happens, and then you're like, oh, shit. Like, you know, and then it is hard, because when I try and think of what my favourite ones are, it is basically Dark Knight, Infinity War, Endgame, and probably Thor Ragnarok. But it's, you know, they are quite similar in a lot of ways. But with DC, I think their films are a lot more, it's almost like a lucky dip, because you've got films like, you know, I don't think Batman vs Superman is amazing. I didn't enjoy that very much. But then Man of Steel, I thought the first hour of it is some of the best superhero film I've ever seen. And then the second hour is some of the worst. So it was just like, oh, you've got this hour of brilliant, deep, complex Superman stuff that is really questioning identity and how human he is. And then the last hour is him just punching someone who looks the same as him into a building for an hour. And you're just like, there is a middle ground here, you know, where you kind of go there. But also, DC is just such a mixed bag. You get films like, you know, Suicide Squad that is critically panned, and then you get Joker that's critically praised. Yeah. And there's just the MCU is like the easy way out, and then DC is just the complete wild card every time. So each time you watch a film, it's like, this could be terrible or it could be phenomenal. Whereas MCU is like, this is just going to be pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. I think one of the benefits I don't know how true it is, but I read that the director of Joker, because obviously it's sort of vaguely based on The Killing Joke and the idea of how he came about, but then not really. That was the idea that they were going for, but apparently he'd never read it. Someone explained it to him and he went with that. So it's not a film based on the comic book. It's a really good film that is tied into the comic book. So yeah, I don't know how true it is, but I think that's sometimes where they go a bit wrong. It's kind of the complete opposite to what Marvel do. Marvel go, right, this is the comic book. We need to do this. Oh, but hang on, this doesn't work for the film, so we better change. And then DC go, right, this is the film. How do we make it into the comic book? And then you're kind of in the middle going, which one of you is doing this right? And I think that's the DC are looking at it for a good film. And it has the comic book sort of connections. I don't know, I'm completely missing the point there. But I think I've had this discussion with you before, Dan, where a lot of the DC films I've seen just seem to have this middle bit where you're thinking, does this need to exist? Because it's kind of, you could make this film probably half an hour to an hour shorter and you would get the exact same result and it would probably be better.
Well, that happened with Batman vs Superman. I felt it went on for a bit longer than necessary. because like I said, there's a formula, isn't there? There's, you know, they set the scene, they set the story for each character. Then you get introduced to the villain and you know what they're going to get up to. And then, you know, the superhero catches wind of it and it goes on to this, like, Titans, and you have your ending. Batman versus Superman didn't do that. It just stretched it out, like, until the rubber bands, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's where it feels like they came in with a movie perspective and then was like, right, okay, but we need to get in all this comic book stuff as well. And then it suddenly how it just gets bigger in the middle and you don't really need it.
There is this weird middle ground, isn't there, where I would not want to be a filmmaker. Like, if someone would call me up and say, do you want to make a Star Wars film? I'm pretty certain I could do a pretty good job. If they said, do you want to do a superhero film? It's like, oh, no, I do not want to touch that with a barge pole. Because you've got super fans like Steve and Max Byrne, who know the material off the top of their head. And like Max Byrne, he really likes Batman vs Superman. And that's completely fine. He's within his right to like a film. But I think he likes it maybe in part because he knows about the source material and all that sort of stuff. Whereas me, when I saw Batman vs Superman, I knew nothing. So a film has to convince someone who's never seen it of everything while trying to stay true to the people who know the source material. And the problem is that if you lean too much on one side or the other, you can't make people win. Like Marvel have done that thing where they basically, their first few films are quite middle ground, where they were like, okay, there's enough here for the comic book fans to enjoy them, but there's also, it's accessible enough for the mainstream. And then they were like, right, we've got this, let's not do anything else ever. And then it's like 23 films later and you're like, still doing it. Like, obviously the end of the whole saga was brilliant, but like aside from probably three films, they're all generally the same kind of thing. And as you say, DC are trying, it seems like some films they're like, I don't even know who the character is, let's just make a film randomly. And then the other time you're like, right, we need to do this to the T. And even if it doesn't make sense because the comic was written ages ago, I'm still going to do it exactly to the T. And it's like, there is... there is some degree of middle ground here in that sort of regard. But sort of, if we link into Superheroes for Dummies, because we haven't actually spoken about that very much, and that's how we vaguely got introduced. Was there, like, how did that kind of start? Let's throw the floor to the two of you. How did it kind of start in a sense? What kind of made you guys do the podcast and whatnot?
Well, Paul, I think you better take this one because I was asleep. And I woke up to a text message, so
He just woke up like, you were in a podcast, and I was like, all right, I guess you just kind of Michael Searage your way in. You're just like, I guess I'm just kind of here now.
Yeah, to be fair, it felt a bit like that to me as well. It was something that I had been considering for a while, obviously knowing Steve and his ridiculous amount of knowledge and my non-existent knowledge. It's a good way to sort of communicate with the peeps out there in the universe. And then obviously Dan, somewhere in the middle, a lot of the movies and the video games to kind of tie it all together. I've been thinking about it for a while and then I just dropped the boys a message saying, what about this? And then the next thing I know, Steve's like, okay, yeah, it's done.
I'm on it.
Right. So, apparently he'd been pondering about a show in which he answers questions from the peeps. And a discussion had been had about him having a show on the network. I did not know any of this. So when I came to them with the idea, Steve was like, yeah, okay, done.
Green light.
Oh, okay. that was kind of it. And then we kind of muddled it together. We put together the Batman episode as a sort of pilot. We thought we'd start strong to try and get people interested. It kind of exploded. We didn't really, I think we just sort of thought it was a good idea to get together because it was pretty much right at the beginning of lockdown that we started it.
Yeah.
And that was part of why I thought, well, now or never, really. And he just kind of went, okay. And it happened, as it sometimes does with Steve. You come to Steve with an idea, and next thing you know, he's built a boat, and he's in front of you with it. He's like, okay, where are we going?
the whole thing, the whole experience, like this whole Pierce for Dummies thing has been absolutely amazing. And like anybody who's listened to, it's kind of funny because it actually is a journey for, especially for me and Paul, it actually is a journey because you've got the two of us who've never ever done a podcast in our life. Actually, we did have like the podcast with your wife for a little while, but that was just like a little thing that we had for a little bit. But other than that, we've never done like a podcast. And if you listen from episode one up to now, you will hear how amateurish we were when we started. Like all the way through to now, like now you just can't shut us up. Like we'll come up with questions, we'll make statements, and listen to me now. I'm absolutely babbling and I can't stop.
It's good. It's what I want.
Yeah. But it's just absolutely amazing. So thank you, Paul, and your amazing brain.
Oh, you're most welcome. It's not often it gets called amazing, so I'll take that one.
Well, it's amazing. From my perspective, it's amazing too. So there you go.
Oh, and, it's been recorded, and it's going out there on the interwebs.
That's true.
I'm going to have that as my ringtone.
Just me and Dan say, Paul, it'll be your alarm every morning. You can just wake up to us going, Paul, you have an amazing brain. Do you know that? Just get loads of people you know and record them saying compliments to you. And that can be your alarm every morning. Just people being nice to you. Because that'd be a lovely way to wake up one day.
Yeah.
I'll send you the sound file.
Motivational way. If you could, yeah.
No worries. It's funny with podcasting because like... And that's the end of part one. Thanks as always for tuning in, guys. Part two will be out next week at the usual time, which will be on the 7th of February. So make sure you tune in for that. And if it's past the 7th of February, then you can go ahead and listen to part two already. Huzzah! Just for clarity, part two is going to continue the general conversation we've been having, you know, speaking about podcasts and superhero movies and comic books and that sort of thing. We talk about sort of the podcast a bit more and the community around it, especially for Superheroes for Dummies, and sort of the entry level of reading comic books, how the guys sort of first got into podcasting and things, and as well as what Dan and Paul kind of do in their free time. And then to find out what, if anyone's been paying attention to us interacting on Twitter, you may want to know what comic guilt is. Well, I'm afraid you'll need to learn about that in part two, because we delve into that. So as I said, you can find the link to their website in the description. That is superdummy.co.uk. I've also included a link to the podcast on Spotify, but it's on the feed of Comics in Motion, and that's on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, I think iHeartRadio, all those sorts of general places that have podcasts. You can find the Comics in Motion podcast, and on that you can find Superheroes for Dummies, my other show, Star Wars Comics in Canon, and a whole host of other shows as well. For clarity, Superheroes for Dummies, in brief, is basically you guys, or the audience, votes on a specific superhero or supervillain, and then Steve, who's a super nerd, gives like loads of information about them, like who they are and that sort of stuff, while also answering questions. I often put a few questions in there for certain ones of just things that I find interesting or intriguing. They've done a Judge Dredd episode, they've done one of Miracle Man, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, lots of ones that are kind of smaller and ones that are more strange and weird, like Plastic Man and things. So make sure you check out Superheroes for Dummies, because it's a lot of fun and is one of my favourite podcasts at the moment. So coming up in the future for Genuine Chit Chat, I'm kind of pondering about doing an idea of a Patreon once again. I'm tempted to do it where when I do part ones and part two releases, anyone who's willing to pay would then be able to get, when part one of an episode drops, I would just include part two as well. So it'd include a different feed. So I'd be tempted to do it so that anyone who wants to contribute any small amount of money would then be able to get like a whole conversation in one go rather than having them split into parts. Also, I was tempted to do sort of like either a few minute recordings here and there just of kind of my thoughts about random things, but also sort of TV reviews and movie reviews and stuff. Me and Megan watch quite a few TV shows and movies, and a lot of the time I can't be bothered to post about it on social media, but if I just flick the on button and talk into a microphone for 10 minutes, that could work quite well. And as I said, we do watch quite a lot of stuff with variety. We watch The Crown, we've watched The Boys, we're watching The Witcher at the moment, we've watched Modern Family, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Big Mouth, South Park, Rick and Morty, like documentaries, movies. Recently watched Back to the Future again for the first time in ages the other day. So I'm quite tempted to make a Patreon this year and then just have recordings of me doing movie reviews as well as having part ones and part twos of episodes come out when part one comes out, so you'd get early access. And also the feed would mean that you actually get it all in one episode rather than being split. So I'd like to know if any of you guys have any thoughts on that. Anyone, I'd love for you to email me and just tell me your thoughts on that. It doesn't mean you have to commit to going into it, but it was something I'm kind of pondering and things, because what I'm trying to do is podcasting costs me about 10 quid a month, and then I'm also getting Zoom Pro, which costs about another £12 a month. So it's not a lot of money, but podcasting costs me about £20 to £25 every month. And I was thinking, if I could just make those costs back, it would mean that this passion project would just then be a free passion project. And then any additional money made on that, I could spend on advertising or something like that, maybe on Instagram or something. I was about to say Facebook, but I'm not doing that again. I've been down that road, and advertising on Facebook's not only rubbish, but no one really uses Facebook anymore. So fun times. But I want to kind of voice that before I delve into what else is coming up to kind of gauge what you guys will think. If anyone has any thoughts on that, please let me know. But if I do implement that, I don't know how long it will be till I actually get off my bum and do that, but we shall see. So in addition, what have we got coming up in the next few weeks? Well, obviously next week's going to be the next episode of Superheroes for Dummies. After that, I'm doing a conversation with a gentleman called Jack of the Just Conversation pod. Now, he hasn't been on the show before, but I've been on his show. So it kind of gives me a bit of reason to, you know, normally I don't like to name the actual guests that I'm having on the show just in case anything goes wrong, but Jack's a really cool guy and I'm sure things won't go wrong in that regard. As well as that, Steve from Superheroes for Dummies, who's been on the show before when I spoke with BZ the Voice about his Green Lantern fan film, Steve should be coming on the podcast at least another two times in the next several months. When the Snyder Cut comes out of Justice League, I'm hoping to have like a roundtable discussion. There's probably going to be about five of us talking about that film. So that'll be released probably end of March, I presume, depending on when or if it comes out in the UK. So that will be on the radar in a couple months' time. I've got another podcast planned with Steve about something else, which I won't go into yet, because there's another guest and things. I've got a few other things sort of in the pipeline. I chatted with one of Tonya Todd's friends who's been podcasting for a long time, and I really want to have her on the show, so I'm probably going to plan that. There's another individual who's contacted me about a DC fan film that they've made, who's a friend of BZ's, so I might be having them on the podcast as well. And I'm kind of reaching the feelers out to get some other people on the show too, as well as some of the other guys in Comics in Motion, because it's always fun to talk to those guys. So that's kind of what you can expect at the moment. So when I have Jack on to talk about random things, it's going to be quite a long conversation, but we're going to talk about sort of moral questions and things like, is there a such thing as good and evil? Is corporate punishment ever really validated? And all those sorts of ideas. So it's going to be quite a fun one in that regard. So I'm looking forward to that. But that's generally what you can expect at the moment. And then lots of the other things I've been guesting on. So the last couple of weeks have been mental. All the guest spots have just been all coming out and whatnot. So, I mean, I was recently on the 20th Century Geek podcast talking about Batman. Myself and Megan were on there. And that's Scott Weatherly, who's been on the show a couple of times. And, oh, Scott Weatherly, he's another one I'm going to have on the show at some point soon to talk about H.P. Lovecraft, because we tried to last year and got completely sidetracked by it. But yeah, when I was on 20th Century Geek, we spoke about the 66 Batman with Adam West, and then the two Burton Batman movies from 89. And then the early 90s. So there's that, and then part two will be out in a week or so, and we talk about the Joe Schumacher films and the animated film Mask of the Phantasm, and then part three will be out a little bit later after that, and that is the Dark Knight trilogy. So that's one sort of bout of collaborations I've been doing. Also on the Comics in Motion feed, I've been on Mandatory Marvel and DC recently to talk about the new 52 Batman story, Death of the Family, featuring the Joker. I was also on a recent episode of Indie Comic Spotlight where me and Tony spoke about Mark Russell's run of the Lone Ranger comics. Also a little bit earlier, which was in December, I was on Comics on Trial and I was prosecuting Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker against Tony, and Megan, my girlfriend, was the judge in that. And I also appeared recently on an episode of the Ragbag podcast. I think the newest one, if you go to about 16 or so minutes, I'm on there. So you can check that out as well. And another podcast that Frank Burton's got his hand in, I will be involved in that, I think coming out in a week or two as well. I've also been on the Tonya Todd's 52 Love podcast as well. I can't remember when that's airing. I'm pretty certain it's soon. But I'll keep you guys posted on that. And if you want to hear me, Tonya, and Megan talk, then you can listen to the last episode of Genuine Chit Chat, number 114. And we spoke about Wonder Woman 84, as well as her new podcast, 52 Love. So that is more or less all the things I've been involved with at the moment. As I said, there's quite a few things here and there. And then the last thing I always like to kind of talk about right at the very end is my other podcast, Star Wars Comics and Canon. I tackle a character or a comic arc or mini-series in the Star Wars canon. And the most recent one I tackled was about Dr. Aphra. Dr. Aphra first appeared in the first run of Darth Vader comics. She's a rogue archaeologist. She's kind of like the opposite of Indiana Jones. She's quite bad and steals things and kills people and stuff, but she's very, very interesting. She's got two homicidal droids by her side. One's called 000, which is basically C-3PO if you liked draining people's blood and killing them. Like, that's the kind of characters in this. It's really, really cool. And the recent episode I did, number 42, that was of the second volume of Dr. Aphra comics, where she has an ancient Rua crystal, tries to sell it at an auction, and things go horribly wrong, including Darth Vader showing up. So if you want to listen to, you know, you don't have to read the comics to understand it. You don't really have to know that much about many things. I try and explain things so that each episode you can kind of listen to is strong enough by itself, but it also encourages people to go check out the comics for those extra details and things. So, you know, if you're into Star Wars and you don't really know where to start, you can, you know, listen to that podcast. It will kind of give you a good amount of groundwork for certain things. Or you can check out the back catalogue. I've tackled episodes on Kylo Ren, Darth Maul, how C-3PO got his red arm, lots of things like that. And if for some reason you don't want to go on the feed of Comics in Motion, but you do want to go on YouTube, I've started uploading those episodes onto YouTube now. I think I'm on about episode 20 has been uploaded on YouTube, and episode 42 of Comics in Canon is out at the moment. So I'm trying to upload two episodes of Star Wars Comics in Canon to my YouTube channel a week. So eventually I catch up so that brand new episodes will go on there as well. The new episodes are exactly the same as the episodes on the Comics in Motion feed. It's just that some people listen on YouTube and I include a small little picture of the comic cover on there as well. So that's the sort of stuff you can look forward to, guys. Let me know about Patreon and your thoughts on that. Share some love with the guys from Superheroes for Dummies, you know, go on their Twitter, tweet at them or retweet their stuff, whatever you kind of want to do, and let me know what you thought of this chat. And as always, guys, thank you so much for listening. I really, really appreciate it. Follow me on social media at Genuine Chit Chat, where I post many photos of the Star Wars comics and things, including panels and the covers of them. I post snippets to all these episodes and things. If you're unsure about an episode that's coming out, you can check out a 30 to 60 second snippet on that episode and things as well. I also post occasional photos and videos of my tortoise on my story. She's only like 1.5 years old, so she's really diddly and very cute. And other stuff I generally post on there when I've been watching movies and whatnot, little screenshots of that. So that's all of the stuff about me at the moment. Thank you as always, guys, and I'll talk to all of you next week.